Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Thank you all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. I want to give a big shout out to Red Circle, putting a little change in my pocket. Let's see who else. All the sponsors we have, Chris Nobles with Nobles Broadcasting. Thanks for the free internet. Anybody else giving me money right now? Let's thank y'all. You guys are fucking awesome. You should probably know your sponsors a little bit better, but I'm not very good at that. I just like the checks. Today with me, I got Miss Brianna and Mr. Jimmy, who I'm super excited to have on the show. And we're getting to hear about a TikTok love story today. And I can't wait. Can y'all hear me good?
Thank you for having us, Josh.
Yeah. Appreciate you having us on here, man.
Well, I keep, I've got thrown into y'all's videos the past couple of weeks. And because I just now got on TikTok like 2 or 3 months ago. I said I was never going to have TikTok. And shit, I'm obsessed with it now. And y'all are two of my favorite people to watch, especially that ass shaking you did the other day, Jimmy. That was good.
See, it won't just for the ladies.
It
won't just for competition. I knew there'd be some fellas out there.
I appreciate it. I thought it was funny. I wake up that morning and I see where Bree did a video and then tagged you in it. And I was blown away by how much better your dance moves were than Bree's.
That's rude as hell.
That's not rude.
Let's talk about how good you can dance, Josh.
First off, my dance moves are legendary. It just takes a whole lot of alcohol to make it come out.
I have video, and I will put it. I will put that video all over social media. I've got one.
First off, ma'am, I've already beat you to the punch. I wouldn't have sent it to you. If you scroll back in my TikTok, there is a cluster of me having way too much fun. And there's an even better one I haven't sent you yet, where I'm literally passed out standing up but still trying to dance. It looks like I keep trying to tie my shoe. Oh, it's bad. All I do is hang out with musicians, and their tolerance for alcohol is way higher than mine. And they knock me down a lot. They put me in my place. But enough about me. On to the important people, TikTok's favorite couple. How did y'all, let's just start off with how y'all met and everything. And by the way, I want to tell you real quick before we start, Jimmy, I know you're a farmer. I appreciate it. I come from a farming family with peanuts and cotton. Farmers don't get the appreciation they deserve. So thank you for the job you do. A lot of people probably don't tell you thank you, but we know how food gets on our table around here, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah, we don't always get the appreciation for all that we do, you know.
I thank you all the time.
Well, I know you do for my taters.
That's right.
So everybody, you know, actually thinks that we met on TikTok, but I was actually driving to Atlanta delivering a load of taters, and I saw her standing on the corner.
You take that back. He is lying. Yeah, we met on TikTok.
Yeah, it took her three. What we just figured?
Three July, months. July, all of July,
August,
September, majority of October. So basically, like 4 months.
Yeah, 3.5 full months to her to follow me back.
Well, and, this lady Gina, she tagged Jimmy in a post of mine, saying that I think that you and Jimmy Jones would make a great couple. And I didn't see, I did see it, but I was dating somebody else at the time, so I didn't do anything about it. I just kind of left it.
For you to date somebody before you even knew who I was.
What do you want to talk about you?
Yeah.
Okay. But so I didn't do anything with your comment because I was dating somebody at the time. So, but then when,
but she was sweating.
Right.
Just waiting to get to that comment.
Right. Right. I'd saved it.
Yes. Yeah, so, right. Yeah, I know you did.
So then Gina commented, which actually I'm friends with Gina now. Like, we've got each other's numbers. My mom and her talk all the time. But yes, yeah, so she left that comment, and then he responded back with,
she had Morgan Wallen's song playing, Spin You Around.
Yeah, because I said in the video, if it's not like Morgan Wallen's Spin You Around, then I don't want it.
So my comment back to that, and this was all in July. The comment, she actually commented in June, but I didn't see it until July for some reason.
No, the video I made in June. She commented in July.
That's right. You made the video in June. She commented in July, yeah. And I saw it in July, whatever. Mm-hmm. but my reply back to that comment was, I'd wear a hole in the kitchen floor spinning her around.
For a chance trying.
Or a chance to try, yeah, something like that.
Oh!
And then, just a cuter.
I had to Google good response.
What do I say back to someone I'm trying to get with on TikTok?
I don't know how to come up with that stuff on top of my head.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. No. But then, so I was friends with this guy, Do You Even Taco, on TikTok. And then he had, did a video about doing like a cop car ride along thing that is now the group. The ride along, which Jimmy started and all that stuff. And did I say ride along?
Yeah.
I said ride along.
Yeah.
And so Taco did a video saying that he wanted to do a ride along with a police officer. Officer Kingery got a hold of it, and then
He duetted it.
And then Jimmy got a hold of it too and got in Lawson and got in TR
Georgia
and
AD and
then I saw him and I saw Jimmy and then I was like, Jimmy Jones III, that name sounds familiar. And I was like, oh, it's that guy that commented on that video of mine. And so then I followed him back in late October. But
and my first thought was, here we are about to do this ride-along thing. You know, with all these combined, big followers. See, I was really small on the totem pole compared to all them, which I still am, and which I'm fine with. And
you have over 700,000.
I know.
Not small.
Compared to them.
Right.
There's four over a million.
Right.
And but which is that numbers don't matter. We don't matter. We're all brothers. And I was like, man, here I am, just finally getting ready to jump on this thing, and here she comes want some clout chasing.
I
know you did, but I thought you might have been clout chasing. I was worried.
There ain't nothing clout about
it
me.
It don't matter because I was gonna let you regardless. I was gonna give it a try.
Oh my God. But he was dating somebody at the time, right? You were talking to dating somebody.
Yeah.
How rude of you.
To date somebody before you gave me a chance on that.
Rude.
And I should have tied myself to the bed and waited.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was dating somebody at the time and I was talking to somebody and then he ended up breaking things off with that girl.
Yeah.
And we were just friends.
Yeah, we had just talked as friends. Like she reached out to me one day about the I wouldn't say it was a breakup, just
the guy that I was talking to, I was really upset because he hadn't like contacted me all day, and it was like 5:30, and it was because normally I would call one of my girlfriends about something like that, but for some reason something told me, and I do believe it was God. Something told me to.
I know it was God. He told me the other night.
He did.
Okay. He did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hate both of y'all. Y'all are so freaking cute. I was sitting watching and it's like, you know what? I'm finna download Tinder again. I hate seeing this. This is literally being rubbed in my face right now. Me and my fat single ass over here. Now just keep going. I'm just gonna keep drinking.
Well, brother, I'm gonna tell you what. If I could be sitting right there, I would be rubbing your face. That beautiful red beard.
That beard is something else, isn't it, boy?
My buddy Bubba had a beard about like that one. Maybe not quite that long, but it was beautiful like that. I just chopped all mine off.
He did. He had a big old foot beard, boy.
Yeah, it wasn't that long, but it was
It don't matter.
Boy.
Thick. As long as it's thick and it's not scraggly, that's all that matters.
That's right. Yeah. It's still.
Why do you say it so girthy? Like,
still.
Oh my God.
No, I like how he freaking says it.
Okay. It's so aggressive. So I called him. I FaceTimed him because I was really upset about this guy that was just not talking to me and not treating me how I wanted to be treated and all that stuff. And so FaceTimed him.
Shame on you for having standards for
God. How dare I?
I get on to women about that all the time, about having standards.
You got to, man. Women and men, both. I mean, you got to have standards. You got to set goals and standards, and do not waver, and do not give up on them, because that's when you give up part of yourself and you stop being part of yourself to make someone else happy. And there is such thing as compromise, absolutely, but truly giving up your standards that you set for yourself.
Like Jimmy told me in the very beginning, he said, I want you to write down things that you will not waver on in a relationship, that is a deal breaker for you in a relationship. And I did, and I shared all of them with him.
I asked her different things, like, you know, what is your favorite things to do? One of her favorite things to do is to go to Barnes & Noble and sit down and read tabloids during coffee. And I was like, when's the last time you done that? She was like, I don't know, it's probably been about 5 years. And I was like, I want you to set a date this week.
This was back in November.
Yeah, this was back in November before we started dating. I was just being a friend. I mean, I would do this for any friend. I would tell them, you know, what do you love to do? Go find something you love to do. Mm-hmm. Set aside time to do that. You set aside time to watch your favorite show at night. You set aside time to go, you know, have a drink with a friend or whatever it is, you know. Set aside time to go to church. Set aside time to whatever, go to the gym. I mean, set aside this other time to go do this favorite thing it is, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some things like walking on the beach, if you live in Missouri, isn't a, you know, a thing, but you need to set them goals for yourself so that you're always doing things that's building you up. And that was one of the biggest things I've learned through dating a lot of people, because I had a lot of girlfriends, that a lot of people are not as strong as they put on to be.
Or they'll give up part of themselves because they think that they need to do that in order to please their spouse.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this quote one time that said, you are not your spouse's world, you are a part of it.
Mm-hmm. We were just talking about this other night on a show, is I don't understand why people fall in love with each other and then try to change one another. Like, you fell in love with that person. Most of the time, if you fell in love with that person because who they are, and then you don't like some of the shit about them, and you go to change it, and then you fall out of love with them because they're not the person you fell for in the first place, and it makes no sense.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, if you don't, you fell in love with that person, and then once you've got them on lock, you want them to change, well, go find that person that you want that change from. You know, there's somebody out there for, I truly believe there's, I mean, no, there's not someone out there for everybody, because some people are just shitty people.
I thought mine had got hit by a bus.
No, and then she was just waiting in Georgia.
Yeah, she was waiting in Georgia. I thought somebody, I figured when my ex-girlfriend was riding around on the bus, just hitting every damn girl it they ever could beat, I think they'd just run over mine.
I always say my soulmate's out there flying around the country somewhere, and I'm scared to get on a plane.
What did we say when I was in there last with Tyler? We said someone's soulmate is out there pulling on a push door, and we just looked at Tyler.
That's what. Tyler was a. By the way, y'all go listen to Tyler Branch. I'm glad you brought him up. I don't know. I believe that everybody's got a person. I'm a hopeless romantic anyway. But I believe everybody's wrong for you besides for one person. And you got to go through all that bullshit to find that one person. And a lot of people just give up. But you're not supposed to give up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Where was I? Oh, yeah. And so then I FaceTimed Jimmy, and he was in the middle of doing something with taters, with the bins and all that stuff. And then he just stopped what he was doing. And then I was just literally bawling my head off. And not literally, but I was figuratively bawling my head off. And he just let me cry for probably like 2 to 3 minutes. And he just said, what's wrong? And I just said, why am I not good enough? And he just said, you are good enough. And I said, then why won't he call me? And he just looked at me and he just goes, because it's not the one for you. And he's just like, when it's the one, there'll be no question.
Yeah, and there won't be.
You know?
You know, one thing that I think is extremely funny, and I don't know if when they originally coined the term that they meant it this way, but I love the fact that somebody told me one time that the reason it's called a breakup is because something's broken. And most of the most of the time, broken things can't be fixed. But us as humans, we want to fix broken people. But the sad thing is, there's probably only one person that can actually fix that broken person. And yep. No, it's kind of ass backwards what people do. I dig what y'all are doing. Yeah. I dig what y'all are doing. Like, it's refreshing. You see a lot of people that social media has tore relationships apart. And it's very rare you see them bring them together like this. I would almost think that with y'all two, you're both not very jealous people, because I imagine the attention you two receive is insane.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we're both a part of the same world, so, like, we know that, I mean, like, there was one instance where I was just like, you know, I don't want to see the comments on this video that you're about to post. It's like, well, then just don't look. You know, and I mean, you can't control. A girlfriend of mine told me, she was like, Jimmy's going to post what he's going to post. He's not posting to get that kind of attention, but he can't control the comments. He can't control what people comment on it. But what you can control is how you respond to it, if you choose to respond at all. You know, and I will stand behind, women on TikTok are far more grotesque than men will ever be. My God.
Well, men get thrown under the bus for making a gesture, a comment towards, you know, a female.
We were talking about this the other day.
Where, you know, men get thrown in, oh my God, you know, if you look up this guy, he's married, I can't believe he's doing this. But women can easily get on there and say, you know, oops, my ring fell off. Oh, my ovaries are.
Don't tell my husband. Come on,
don't tell my husband I've watched this video.
Which, can you imagine the comments if a man said that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If a man said, oh,
hold
don't
yourself
tell my,
to that same standard.
Don't tell my wife I'm watching this same video, this girl booty dancing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that video she's talking about was one where I had danced. And I hadn't done a lot of dancing. I've always danced since way before TikTok, way before. I mean, there's a video of me on YouTube where I was dancing on a stage in Florida in 2014.
Mm-hmm, I
see. I mean,
I'm
just shoot out there that do that Copperhead Road.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I'd tear up some line dancing now.
Golly. But then, like, a lot of, like, I'm not jealous, but there are certain things that get brought up that bring up insecurities from the past. But I cannot hold what other men did to me onto Jimmy, because Jimmy hasn't done those things, and that's not fair to him. So whenever I do, Jimmy and I have always been open with each other since day one about our past, about decisions that we've made. You know, we've had those hard conversations that a lot of people don't have. And I think that's why we work so well, is because we're not afraid to have those hard, open conversations each other.
You have to. And one of the things that a lot of people just really miss, and I'm the king of giving relationship advice and then not in a fucking relationship, but because I expect more from one. Like, I want what my grandparents had. And until I find that, I'm not even trying to settle down again. But with what y'all do for a living now, you two have built reassurance between each other. And you help take away those insecurities by building up that reassurance that, hey, it doesn't matter if this is a 10 that's in my comments or in my DMs or whatever. You can see it. You know, I don't give a shit about her. I'm yours. And a lot of people just don't build up that reassurance to where you're comfortable. And y'all honestly seem legit. Like, you two have an understanding of each other to where a lot of people don't. I don't know if I could date somebody that was on social media the way that I'm on social media if they did not expose everything to me and me expose everything to them. I wouldn't want it. I think my insecurities would get the best of me.
I mean,
it is a lot. It really is. But it's like, she don't post thirsty stuff and I don't either. Yeah. And back to the dancing thing, like, I've always danced ever since I was a little kid, man. I mean, I was 9 years old and did a dance for the whole fifth grade class by myself.
I need to see them VHSs.
If I could find the John Brown thing, I'd post it on YouTube.
That's your mama.
But I've always danced, and I took a little bit of a break when me and her got together because I wanted to build up that reassurance. I wanted to build that strong foundation. I didn't want there to be these questions of me out here doing thirsty content, you know. When this little dance challenge thing kind of came up, I love a good challenge. I don't care if I lose first round, second round, don't matter. I love a challenge. It just, something about it drives me. So I wanted to be part of this. So I told her, I said, hey, I'm going to do this dance, you know. I didn't just go out there and do it. And I knew there was some concern there, but I also had done made up my mind I was going to do it. And I'm glad I went ahead and did it because it did help. And she said, well, I know these, you know, these women are going to get kind of crazy in the comment section. I said, well, honey, look, I said, they have the right, you know, we have freedom of speech here. And I did a whole post on this. We have freedom of speech here. They have the right to say whatever they want to. You have the right to ignore the shit out of them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do what I do. Like, I'll go check the comments on a video of one of my inspirational videos. But a lot of times when I do a dance video, I don't ever go check the comments because I don't care what they said. I dance because I like to dance. Mm-hmm. I moved my body the way that music told me to move my body. I don't really care where you think it's good, bad, ugly, great, wonderful, want to see me naked next time. What? It don't matter. I just dance because I want to dance. Same thing with singing. I don't really hardly ever go back and look at them comments because it don't matter. But inspiration, I do like to, you know, see that I've touched and made a difference in somebody's life. So I do read those comments. But that's the biggest thing is you got to learn that internet is its own whole world by itself. And you don't need to get your validation.
Which I think a lot of couples do that. Like the social media couples, they meet on social media and it can work. I mean, we're proof that it can work. Like, we got some shit in the very beginning of like, you guys need to put down your phones and get to know each other. Like, bitch, we 15 to 60 second clips.
Yeah.
You see of our relationship.
I added it up that first weekend we were together and everything blew up. We both, you know, all our videos just, you know, with the love story. I think we spent a whole, it was 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah, total.
6 or 7 minutes.
Out of 4 days.
Out of 4 days. We spent 6 or 7 minutes online.
Uh-huh.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And then we did do one live together.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
For like maybe an hour.
Yeah. And then checking a few comments here and there, but that was it. Mm-hmm. I mean, a matter of an hour and a half out of 72, mm-hmm. 96 hours or whatever. Yeah. So.
Well, even like the checking the comments on the inspirational stuff, like I don't believe in checking the comments. Like I am very bad about if I post something going through and just hearting everybody's stuff just to show my appreciation for them doing something anyway. But if you're putting something out that you believe in or something that just hits you or it's just funny as hell to you, it doesn't matter. I feel like you should never read the comments for the simple fact that you don't want to see one person or a couple people out of a couple hundred that say something different. It makes you change your train of thought. You're never going to make everybody right. happy. And I know, like, I like to post about how I think big girls are beautiful. I love all women, whether little ones, big ones, medians. I don't care. I think all women should be told they're beautiful. I think they should. And every time I post something telling big girls what badasses they are, there's always some 100-pound little girl that comes there and gets pissed and completely misses the point. It's like, look, people probably tell you you're attractive all the time, but when's the last time a girl that was 300 pounds got told she was pretty? Everyone deserves to be told they're beautiful. And I just quit reading it. I quit reading it because people are going to make shit about themselves, and it almost had me second-guessing myself. And I was like, nope, I know where it came from. I know I posted it from my heart. I know I meant what I said, so to hell with what anybody else says.
Absolutely.
Well, there's just one thing that I've come up with since TikTok has kind of grown, and that is I ain't never seen a hater doing better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I don't mind reading a comment that don't particularly agree with me because I lived in California for 2 years in 2015 and 16.
I'm sorry.
And yeah, I agree. Yes, I lived in Los Angeles.
Lord Jesus.
Coming from Louis.
Aren't you glad you're not there now?
Hell yeah.
Oh boy.
I wouldn't be there. When they said pandemic, my ass would have been, I'd have walked home.
Damn right.
And, so he put his hand up like he's in church.
Yep.
Or like you on the corner in Atlanta.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I've been thumbing it for real. But made a lot of good friends, love some people out there. But I mean, I realized then that like the world is definitely not think like people from Bailey, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I was always very cultured anyway. I might have grew up in a small town, but I was always pretty cultured. With different races, different backgrounds, religions, things like that. I was always very well-rounded when it came to different things. But just being around it constantly every day for 2 years really gave, you know, opened my eyes up that everybody in the world don't think the same. Mm-hmm. And so I'm okay with, I got some really good friends out there that don't agree with anything. Yeah. I mean, they don't believe in my religious views. They don't believe in my conservative views, anything like that. We didn't get along on any of those levels, but we were able to be friends because we let that kind of stuff mm-hmm. go and didn't talk about it.
Yep. Like one of my best friends of 30 years, she is a staunch liberal, voted for Bernie Sanders in the primaries and voted for Biden because I'm settling for Biden. We don't agree on a single damn thing, but what we do agree on is that we're both badass females and we can put our politics aside.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way things are now, I don't believe everything's black and white anyway. I believe that the media and assholes have made us think that you have to pick a side. I don't believe in picking a side. Just the way y'all are talking, one of my best friends is an atheist, and I love the good Lord and always will, but we just don't talk about it. She's a very good person. It's just she was raised different than I. But I know if I was to need somebody right now, she'd come take care of me in a heartbeat. And that's why I don't judge people off their religious beliefs, off of their political beliefs or anything. I judge it off how you treat me. And I think that's where a lot of people that are so freaking hard-headed, they forget that fact. They forget that you're allowed to have an opinion. And just because we don't have the same opinion don't mean we can't get along. If the whole world had y'all's idea of how you're supposed to treat people, even if they're different, be a whole lot damn better place.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, like you said, the media drives a lot of stuff. And a lot of people they do get so upset about that one comment, that one person that did not agree with out of hundreds of people that did agree, that one person. I've seen creators have these huge setbacks from one comment from somebody that doesn't pay your bills, that doesn't do anything for you, you know, go into, you
let
know,
it
you
run your let life them, emotionally.
Yeah. And that's where I just consider them a hater. Or I even try, I was just talking about, I said something about the ketones thing when we jumped on here. I had somebody kind of bashing it. And after I got to talking to them, and on my Instagram, they had sent me a message. I wouldn't say convinced. I almost said that word, but that would be a bad choice of words. I just talked to them enough and they were like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. I realized, oh, okay, now this, you know, I gave them facts and information. Mm. And after you give somebody facts and true information, it will change the outcome or change the outlook on how they look at it. And that's one thing I want to commend Brianna on is, you know, I live in a small town, so I get picked on sometimes about a lot of my big social media stuff and all, and they say, oh, y'all met on TikTok,
Like, damn right we did. Look how we're thriving. And like, you're sitting there alone at 37.
Yeah, and you're lazy boy.
You're a damn lazy boy.
Y'all just described my life, by the way.
I was about to say, I wonder how old he is, because I'm
33, but I do sit at home alone a lot in my lazy boy, so...
What? Well, you got 4 years, Joshua.
You got four years. You're not 37 yet.
I feel like I'm 47, though.
It changes when you turn 37. The cords hurt. 48 for me.
There you go.
But I told one thing I love to tell people. I'm like, we met on TikTok. Ha ha. I was like, but have you ever been on Tinder? You ever messaged a girl on Facebook? You ever messaged a girl on Instagram? You know, Match.com, Plenty of Fish. Anything ever, you know, you ever had a crush on a movie star? That's media. That's social media to a degree of some sort. I said, TikTok is a wonderful way to meet someone. I said, because it's not just Tinder that's got, you know, five pictures up here that's all filtered. and mm-hmm. four of them you're with a group, so you, God. You know, and every damn girl in the group looks the same.
Or every guy's holding a damn you know, fish. Yeah. PSA, don't hold a fish in your dating profile picture. Yeah. Just don't.
Unless you're on Plenty of Fish, then I feel like it's pretty good satire. Yes. And so, but, you know, not only is there video where you get to either hear this person's voice, or if they don't use their voice, you at least get to see a lot more of the personality. Mm-hmm. And there's also a comment section. And Brianna being very, very political on her social media, which I am not.
He keeps that off.
I keep all that stuff to myself, and nobody needs to know. Obviously, if you got any common sense, you know where I stand on it. I just don't talk about it.
You said common sense.
Well, common sense ain't so common anymore, but.
You're damn right.
Yep, but I want to commend her for, because I got the opportunity over those 3.5 months while I waited patiently, almost starving to death, because I wouldn't leave my phone for you to follow me back.
Okay.
That I got to read how she handled a lot of those naysayers and people that came at her harshly and negatively and didn't agree with her political views. I got to watch how she handled people in the comment section. And I said, this is somebody right here that I could probably see myself with, because she's going to know how to handle it in a respectable way and not clap right back at you like, oh, if you don't believe in what I believe in, then if you this, that, and the other, you know, well, you know, like what we were just saying, it's very, very, what's the right word? It would be very good if everybody could realize that you can not have the same views and still be friends, like we were saying a while ago. And I watched her change people's minds by giving them information and facts and truth and resources and things like that to check and go read on their own. And like I said, just giving them facts and helping them, I ain't gonna say help, but giving them the option to see it a different way. And I thought I want to commend her on that. And I thought that was really, really good of her.
You're so sweet.
I'll be trying. Mm-hmm. I Googled what to say before we started.
No, that's one reason why people know how I am about a couple things. I don't care what your political beliefs are, as long as you have information to back it up. I am open to hearing mm-hmm. an argument, but have information to back it up. Don't tell me just because mm-hmm. you said so. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And then when it comes down to religion, I know what me and God have got worked out. We can keep that distance with other people. I don't mind having that conversation. If all you want to hear is how good God's been to me, going, I probably don't deserve any of it, but I don't want to hear you bashing him. But what I was getting to is when they were telling me about Brianna, I go on the lives and stuff like that, and I've had people on my show that have been a little rough around the edges like me, because I like rough people. I like people that have a good heart, but at the same time, you know, I like to say I'm built for bikers. And and whenever I was, when they kept telling me about her, I finally had to message her one day because I saw some of the comments that she said and some of the stuff that she did. I can't stand the clapping back videos when you're just being an asshole to somebody, but I would see the stuff that she would do. And it was not trying to even change their mind, but just informing them. And I was like, that's gold. What she's doing is what you're supposed to do, because that's how I ignore most of them, 99% of them, unless you're just completely lost your damn mind and have no idea what you're talking about. But the way she handles herself, I completely understand. That is a very cool trait to have in somebody, because you know, I would think, how she's going to handle an argument with you now. Maybe she'll be reasonable.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, that's
maybe. He said maybe.
You're still.
We haven't had any arguments. Like, we've had things that, okay, well, I don't really agree with this. Well, I don't see a problem with it. Like, we've had those things, but nothing. We haven't had an argument yet. Well, but, I mean, it's, you know.
Speaking from experience, one thing that'll turn a man off on a woman in a heartbeat is the first little thing she blows up on. And if it's something small, it'll run him off in a heartbeat. Yeah. I know it does to me. So Jimmy had a chance to actually see how you handle confrontation before this confrontation. Right. And, hey, I commend you. I commend both of y'all on that. That's good for y'all. Y'all are too cute.
Like, because I used to just, be real.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should, too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
To like pop off real quick when I was younger.
I told him not to do that. I fried him jaws.
Right.
No, really.
Whatever. He's fine. I'd pop him so quick. But like I've learned that whenever something that like happens or he says or whatever triggers something in me, I take a step back and I'm like, okay, I need to sit on this for a second. That's what she said.
Yeah.
And figure out, okay, is this that big of a deal to be brought up to him, or is it something that's within me that I
told you that?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because okay. There was you're something. Right. There was about 3 days in a row. Maybe I might be off on him today. Might have been two. Might have been four. Or something.
No, like it was when you were talking to me about whenever like farming season would start.
Well, it was that. There was actually something that you brought up something, and then the next day you brought up something. They were very small, minute things. And that's why I said what I said, like, could you take, if it's not something that's, like, detrimental, something that's huge, you know, that's weighing on you big time, and you've already been thinking about it for 24 hours or 6 hours or 2 hours, depending on how heavy it is, obviously different things are going to affect you in a different way. I said, if it's something that pops in your head, because something I just said, because I don't know how I do it, but I am... I am the king creator of insecurity. And, oh, my God, I will say the damnedest things that just create all kinds. And I don't mean anything by it. I'm literally just talking about, like, an old experience. Most of the time, like, if I bring up any kind of ex-girlfriend, it's not because I miss them. Because, God darn, I tell you, they're an ex for a damn reason.
Facts, brother.
But it's more for, like, a... Just like what you did today, you know, we had something happen this afternoon, and it was really interesting, something I didn't know. So when I'm working, I am just get it, go, everything else can wait. And I'm bouncing around, and I'm running and doing this and doing that. I was loading some drain tiles, some concrete drain tiles on my trailer, and I had the backhoe and the chain and all this, and I was putting them on there, and this guy come driving up behind us. I didn't realize he was about to borrow and use the backhoe. I thought he was just trying to get past us. So I jump off the backhoe right quick, and I go around to where she's at, and I'm like, hey, just drive my truck. And I got a 40-foot gooseneck hooked to the back of my truck.
Mm-hmm. I've never in my life driven something like that before.
He so let you drive that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit, how scared were you?
Me? Oh, no, I did. I left her.
He literally said, hey, I need you to drive this. It was just like right around the corner. He's like, I need you to drive this real quick. And I'm just like, oh, that's fine. You serious?
No, you said, I can't. I can't. I said, yes, you can. I said, yes, you can. I said, I need you to do it right now. I said, get in the driver's seat and follow me.
He said it a lot sweeter than that.
I felt like I was, oh, okay, I was sweet. No, and I was like, sweet. Do it for me, please.
Yes, he said it a lot sweeter.
I'll give you some of this if you do that.
Ain't no if.
I liked it better when you was mean with it.
Yeah. No, I told her, I was like, get in it. I was like, come on now. I was like, this guy's waiting. Come on. He's trying to get, I just got to get this shit out of the way. Come on. So I just jumped on the back gun and took off. I was like, she'll figure it out. If she runs over a school bus or a tree or what the hell ever she runs over with the trailer, she'll just run over. And she come up once I got parked. And
I did it, though.
She did it, though, and she ain't hit nothing. And she come up, and I could tell she was feeling some type of way, you know. And I said, what's wrong? She said, I just kind of had a flashback to an old relationship that I got fussed at for not doing something right. And I was like, well, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't hit nothing. And even if you would have, it would just be like me every day, because normally I run into something every day. I was like, so you're fine.
But like when it's ingrained in you for that long of time, you know, you automatically think that it's going to happen that way, especially when it happened back. Like, he was like, all right, I need you to get out. I need you to go do this. I'm just like, I can't. Nope, I can't do it.
I was like, yeah, you can. You'll figure it out. Go ahead.
Are you serious? Like, yeah, I'm serious. Get on in there. I thought he was joking.
That I'm a lot like my that's, a lot old school, like my dad, where it's just like, you figure it out as you go.
You're damn right. That's called being trauma triggered.
Yes.
That is called
trauma. And when I tell you, like, I was sitting in his work truck, and I was just like, I can't fucking do it. I can't fucking do it. Oh my God. And then I was like, okay, well, no. He said to make wide turns, so I got to back up a little bit so I don't hit the bus, and then I got to go around and make a wide turn. And then the whole time I was in like fight or flight mode. And I was just like, if I mess something up, he is going to, like, because this is a work thing. And I was like, if I mess up, he's going to have my ass. And I was like, wait, he's never done that before. So why would he do that now? And then, you know, so I was trauma triggered beyond, but what made it all this is how you handle things with a woman or a man who's trauma triggered. You sit there and you do what Jimmy did afterwards. And you say, I didn't mean to.
I didn't mean to trigger that, whatever it was I did.
Yes. Or bring that out. Cause
I
didn't know
if it was exactly something I said or just putting her in the situation.
Putting me in that, yeah. And then he said, I didn't mean to put you in that situation to where you would have been triggered.
Yeah.
Cause he didn't.
But it's great that he knew, like, that acknowledging to himself that he knew something was bothering you beforehand, and you actually talking about it back to him. That's how you keep shit from bottling up and becoming a problem.
Right.
And that's great. That's great that you knew that there was something off with her. And thank you for being one of the few women in this world that when something's actually bothering you, you tell the fellow you're with what's bothering you instead of us having to ask a million times, what's the matter?
I mean, there has been a time or two where he's had to ask a few times, but I just wasn't ready to talk about it because I didn't want to preemptively say it the wrong way and it come out as if I'm attacking him. So I had to take a minute to like gather my thoughts about it and, you know, figure out how to say it the right way so that we don't get ourselves into a situation or an argument where it's taken the wrong way. And, you know, but like a lot of people don't see that on TikTok. They don't see the reason why we work so well is because of our communication with each other.
Well, you're both reasonable and logical people. A lot of people run off of instinct, especially when you get mad or whatever. You want to run off of just that first reaction. The fact that you just said something that was super important is that you thought about it before you said it. Like, you worked it out beforehand instead of just blaming him for old mess. And that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell you with past incidences, past relationships, we'll just call it that, past relationships that, you know, one thing I commend her on, and I do like that how she comes forth with the problem or the issue or the concern or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it. She comes to me calmly and talks to me about it. She says, hey, you know, I've been thinking about this for, you know, a couple hours, a couple days. You know, like I said, depends on the weight of the issue. And she comes to me calmly, quietly, and
non-accusatory.
Yeah, not accusing, you know, just, hey, I got a generic question, you know, just about a while ago.
Yep.
Hey, you got a hair straightener in there. You're like, do you just have that for, was that an ex-girlfriend's, or did you, like, buy that for girls?
Well, because first, like, I know that I am the only woman in his life, and I am everywhere on his social media. I'm everywhere. Like, people in his hometown, they're like, I see you everywhere on his social media. I ain't never seen Jimmy like this over somebody, and my products are all over his house. And I mean, and the thing is like, if somebody's going to do something, no, they're going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know, but like, he had a straightener in his bathroom closet.
And I'm bald as hell, baby. I don't need no damn hair straightener.
Right.
Beautiful. Look at beautiful.
Him. But so he had a straightener in his bathroom, and I was just like, I wasn't thinking like, oh, he's got some girl in here. I was literally thinking like, why does this man have a hair straightener in his room or in his bathroom? And I was thinking, well, because he's got a whole bunch of, like, little things, like, in his bathroom just in case, like, people stay over or whatever. And I was like, maybe it's just one of those. I just asked out of complete curiosity, but I came to him, and I didn't want him to think I was accusing him of something.
Yeah, and she didn't come at me like, why you got a hair straightener in your thing? And obviously, it ain't the first time she's ever seen it. I guess.
No, that was.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, because your toiletry bag was blocking it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I was wondering why you just asked. Yeah. I figured you had done seen it. Because that shit been in there. I ain't no telling how many years it's done been in there. I'd be surprised if it even worked.
Whenever you have a situation like that, though, I know that is a big deal for me, how you come at me when you have a question. One thing that has always caused me to run away from women is I hate being accused of something when I haven't done it. There's probably a decent explanation if it's there, just like what you had. And I hate. I'll tell you what would happen to me with the toxic women that I like. I would have got hit in the face with it while I was sleeping. They would have waited till I was knocked out, and they would have came in there and they would have popped my ass with it. And instead of asking me, "Hey, why do you have this straightener?" Well, my ex girlfriend left it here.
That's exactly. Yeah, he was just like, one of my ex girlfriends I left here. He's like, I don't know who it was, to be honest.
I'm glad she didn't even ask, and because I wouldn't have been able to name who it was. I don't know what color.
What color is it? It's like red or something.
Okay, yeah. I don't even know what it is. I mean, obviously, it's been buried in that cabinet since God knows when it got put there. But see, I'm also the kind of guy. I grew up, me and my mom and my sister. And then our daddy woke up at 4:30 every morning, and he was gone before any of us even woke up. So I shared a bathroom with my mom and sister. We all had to get ready for school and work, you know, everything at the same time. So there was a box of tampons beside the toilet in the bathroom, in this one family bathroom that we had. So stuff like that ain't never been weird to me. So just like when I moved in my house, and I went to go get the big bulk of things that I needed to get. This was 10 years ago. I was 21 years old. And I was going through all the toiletry stuff, getting my deodorant and my stuck condoms and this. I picked up a whole multi.
You could have gone with any toiletry, and that's what you chose.
I picked up tampon, picked up a box of tampon, because you know I got girlfriend. Not when I say girlfriends, I got like friends that are girls. If my sister was ever over here, my mom was over here, whatever. Obviously, mom don't know more, but I guess. But I don't have a weird shit. Whatever. Anyway,
it's all right. You're more likely to see tampons in my house than condoms. Anyway, so I get it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I keep stuff like that under the sink just in case I ever have a friend have an emergency, you know, or something. And so. Stuff like that ain't never been weird. So it ain't weird to me to even keep a hair straightener or a blow dryer or fingernail removal stuff. I got some of that in there. I bought that just to have, but I don't know. Might paint my toenails one day.
Oh my gosh. Y'all two are just so damn adorable. And like I literally commented on that, all right, that video I made the other day of y'all two dancing. I put relationship goals on it because I'd already seen some of the stuff y'all posted or whatever. But y'all actually have it figured out. Like just in 45 minutes, I can see that how I say all the time, like, I want what my grandparents had or whatever, where they figured each other out and then they were fucking cool with it the rest of their lives. Y'all have got it figured out. Like, you're yin and yang. You're bouncing off of each other. And it's so obvious that it's honestly sickening. And
sorry, Josh. I have gone through so, you know, a lot of what I've gone through. Yeah. I've gone through so much shit that I fucking deserve.
You're damn right you do. I'm glad that you have it. Like, but and it's the case.
You and a lot of other females too. You don't want to ever leave everybody out. Everybody deserves true happiness. Mm-hmm. Everybody deserves a good thing. It's just, there's been a lot of people that had a good thing and didn't realize it. You know, mm-hmm. and I might be going out a rabbit hole. Not a bad one, I don't think, but just, I don't ever want to leave anybody out. Like, you deserve this. Yes, you do.
I was just talking about me.
I know. And I'm glad. I'm saying a lot of other people do too. And I just hope that other people can get a taste of what we got. And
you just got to be patient.
Yeah. The biggest thing is you got to be patient, because God knows, boy, I rush sometimes from one relationship to the next.
I couldn't get in a relationship.
I'm the same way. I don't.
2000.
I don't think it's the patience with y'all. I think it's the understanding of each other.
Yeah.
It is the understanding is the biggest thing.
Yeah. We just get each other. Like, there was, like, when he came down and visited me in December, I mean, I wasn't nervous, but I was like, I was excited, you know? And then, like, that first, like, night, like, there was no weirdness. There was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it literally, like, I remember getting out of my car and walking over to him. And, like, the only thing that I could think of to say when I saw him was Jimmy Jones. And then from that second, I was like, this is it. Like, this is going to work, you know? And, well, we talked for like a month or two or something like that. Right. Maybe like a month.
We were friends for, let's see.
We were friends for like a month.
December 10th. November.
Yeah, we were.
We talked for about 3 weeks, and then we were friends for about 3 weeks, and then we
talked
seriously for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So about, because I know it was about 6 weeks altogether.
Yeah, and I pushed him. I not pushed him away, but like, I was very apprehensive to start anything, because I told my best friend Rachel, and if you want to get her on the line, call her. She will verify this. I told her, I said, Rachel, I know the second that I say, let's go with this guy, it is full send. I know it. Like, I know he's it. I know that this is going to be the real deal. And I'm so scared of getting hurt. And she was like, but what if you don't? What if you don't get hurt and you miss out on the love of your life?
Yeah.
You will regret it.
There's too many people that once they fall off that horse, they don't want to get back on it. I had to argue with some parents last night. I coach softball for my daughter, or help coach softball. And I had to argue with some parents last night about just how they treat their kids or whatever. And that's a whole different story. But one thing that, if you did not know how bad it hurt to lose, you wouldn't understand how good winning feels. And, and with y'all, what you're talking about is, you know, it hurts like hell to get your heart broke. But I firmly believe that there comes a day for all of us, as long as you don't settle, that when you're standing at the altar and you're getting married to your best friend, that every heartbreak that you ever thought about, you won't think about anything but what's directly in front of you. But if you give up, you never find that. You're just bitter. I know people that are older, like in their 40s and 50s, that decided after their first marriage they were never going to marry again, or they was never going to be with somebody, and they are bitter and hate life because they gave up on love. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my opinion, like I said, hopeless romantic here, is life even fucking really worth living if you don't got love?
Right.
And I
1,000%.
Yeah.
But like when
One more thing, bouncing the opposite of that is when you talk about toxic relationships a while ago, when you see them red flags. Mm-hmm. So in my past relationships, I had some toxic ones too. And I always tried to fix them. you know, even if I was the toxic one, I'd always say, I'd do better. And I didn't want to do better. I wanted to in my mind, but I really never did better. So
yeah, sorry with no change is called manipulation.
Exactly. And that's solid. And so it took me a bunch of some downs to finally realize that when you start seeing them red flags and them toxic issues and those things like that, cut it right then, walk away clean.
Well, once you see so many, it's not just an occurrence. I mean, it's going to keep happening, and a bunch of us want to change that, but it's always going to be there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, the girl that I broke it off with right before me and her got together, I told her she's a great person, but she had a hot little attitude. And I told her that. I said, you got a hot attitude. I said, you come at me really, really full force and with an attitude, and I'm not going to bounce back but any other way but with my temper and my own attitude. I said, and you got the what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing red flags. I said, and I'm gonna have to walk away from this now while I see these red flags. Now I'm gonna need to go now, because I've heard too many people over the years say, I saw the red flags 5 years ago.
One of them.
I saw the red flags, you know, in the beginning, but I thought that I could. Well, that's your first problem right there. You thought. Mm-hmm. You thought you could fix somebody. You thought you could change it. People are who they are. They do what they do. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
And you got to learn to walk away when you start seeing them red flags, because you ain't doing nothing but heading, continuing down.
Imagine, like, if people just did what Jimmy did with those red flags, how many years you would save yourself?
Yeah.
Like, my God, like, if I had actually acted on red flags in previous relationships, I mean, like, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. God does not allow a single thing to happen that he does not want to happen, but there's also free will. You know, so he's going to be like, all right, I, this is not the person. Like, God doesn't see somebody for you that he has for you and is like, I'm going to take that away from them. He doesn't do that.
No.
You know, but he does see the person that's not right for you. He's like, all right, well, you got a choice. You can either continue on, or you can go down this path and you can meet the love of your life sooner, or you can go down this shitty ass road and then do this, that, and the other. And you'll get to that other person later, but you're just going to have to go through this shit first. You know, but I mean, Jimmy made sure that before we even got started, he was like, I need you to be 100%. I need you, or, you know, damn near close to it.
Yeah.
He said, I need you to love yourself. He said, because you can't get your self-worth from your partner. That has to come from you.
If you don't love yourself enough, then you're going to be relying on your partner's love to fill your heart.
And that's not your own. My happiness is not his responsibility.
Damn
it's
right.
It's not. It's not. That's my responsibility. He adds to it 1,000%, and I add to his. But at the end of the day, if I'm not happy, I need to go figure out why I'm not happy. Obviously, like, there's certain situations where it's like a spousal, like, abuse. So that's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, day to day, I'm not responsible for him being happy. I'm not responsible for him feeling like a man. That's his job to make himself feel that way.
Yeah. How are you supposed to make somebody else happy if you're not happy with yourself? I mean,
that was his biggest thing. Before I come down and visit you, he was like, I need you to be 100 with yourself. He said, because there's going to be a lot of time during March through November that I'm not going to be able to give you 100% of myself because I'll be busy farming. And, so before he came down, I made sure that I was as damn near close to loving myself as I could, because I was like, I want this man. And so then I told him probably like a couple weeks before you came down, I was like, all right, I'm ready, but I'm afraid to get hurt. And he was like, well, I am too.
Yeah.
He's like, I've been hurt before. He's like, but you don't know until you try.
I can tell you in 2000, that was the end of 2017. The last couple of months, I had got hooked up with this girl and it was toxic, and I fell just far down the damn rabbit hole as I could fall. And for whatever reasons I did, I still can't tell you today what in the world made me like that girl as much as I did, but it was all for all the wrong reasons. And that girl ripped my heart out of my chest. And it was all my fault. I mean, it was all my fault. It was red flags everywhere. It was pure truth. Like, leave me alone. And I couldn't leave it alone. I don't know what it was. And I got hurt bad. I got hurt real bad. And for the next, I swear, for the next whole year, the whole year of 2018, I was filling empty voids. And I was using people to try to feel the love back in my heart, or try to cure this pain and this, that, and the other. Man, 18 was a wreck of a year for me.
Me and you are twins. I'm just
I told him after my podcast with you, I said, you're gonna love Josh.
Same thing. I met this girl completely by accident, same year. She had a daughter that was my daughter's age. Her family was amazing. Like, I loved her family as much as I loved her, and that's never me. Like, I feel like sometimes families get in the way of stuff, so I try to still be nice to the family and respectful because it's the way I was raised, but this is our life. Let's live it our way. But same thing.
Yeah.
And it came out of left field when I got my heart broke. Like, didn't see it coming. Just bought her and her daughter all kind of Christmas presents and all this stuff. And then right after Christmas, right before New Year's, she broke up with me just out of the blue. She was already talking to some guy and not telling me. And, yeah, it was bad. They're married now, so congratulations to her, by the way.
Same exact thing happened with mine. She was talking to somebody else, left me, and they got married 5 months later.
Boy, and
you text me her name, Joshua. You let me know she did, boy.
She actually messaged me, I don't know. If you can't tell, I like to have a little bit of whiskey and stuff when I do these shows. I'm not mad at this person anymore. Like, there was a whole year that when I say that I drank myself silly, her family's favorite drink, which ended up being one of mine too, is Wild Turkey 101 and Coke. And I literally would get a fifth of Wild Turkey 101 a day, or every day and a half. And if I did not have my daughter, I was drinking because it hurt so bad. And any girl that paid me attention in those 6-7 months right there, I wasn't very good to them. And it was just me trying to fill that hole. But now, and I had, don't get me wrong, I had got drunk and texted her, but it was always nice, never ugly to her. But then whenever the podcast blew up and she saw it like in the top 100 in the world, she messaged me. And she was like, I've heard you talk about me a couple times on the show, and I very much appreciate you not being ugly about me. And it took something that I didn't think I had in me, but I told her, I was like, look, if I'd have stayed with you, I would have never got my job in radio, because I would have loved you too much to go sit there and entertain other people all day. I would have never done the podcast now because I would be too worried about your insecurities. The best thing you could have ever done with me is to completely wreck my heart and rewire me. And it was a blessing in disguise. So I completely get where you're coming from. And I still to this day don't know why I was infatuated with that woman the way I was.
I'm the same way, man. Like, people are like, what was it? Because, I mean, I'm tall my head over heels. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, like, she's good looking, but I've been with good looking girls.
Yeah.
You know, this, that, and the other. I mean, like, every quality she had, I had had that quality in somebody else. It was nothing. It just, like you said, it was just something toxic there. And, but if every bad thing that has ever happened to us didn't happen to us, we wouldn't be where we are today. Mm-hmm. If we'd have hit a home run every single time, we wouldn't be where we are today. And I know everybody thinks that you want to hit every single home run. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
Because
you learn from one that you don't hit.
Like you said a while ago, if you don't lose some, you don't respect the win.
Damn right. We just had a guy, which we just had this big riders round thing where I live. Several folks from Nashville that's got good names up there stayed with me the past 2 weeks, and we'd listen to music, listen to them play, and drank too much. But the other night we did a
show. You drank too much? I don't believe it.
This man makes me want to make a drink.
Well, I'm glad I do. And I also hate the fact that I do. But we had this guy stay with us. The guy stay with us named Dustin Heron.
Oh, my God, Jimmy. Don't fart like that.
Yes.
Everything.
Well, now everybody knows on the podcast, top 100 in the world, that I farted.
Hey,
while we was on the podcast, they probably thought it was a crinkly board in this old house.
Hey, they've heard worse. You can shit on this show all you want to. I promise you, they've heard worse. But we had this guy on the show the other night, Dustin Heron. Him and Tyler Branch did an episode with me. Dustin has had a song come out called It's Me Again, Jesus. And we was doing the show and everything together. And we got on that very subject right there. I am a firm believer, and there's a lot of times in our life we want to be somewhere else. And we obviously never want to struggle. But we have to be where we are to learn the lesson that God wants us to learn. Yeah. I am not a good Christian. I always say I'm not an example setter, but I know who my Lord and Savior is, and I will always shout it as loud as I can. But the thing is, if we didn't appreciate the journey, then we wouldn't respect the destination. So even if your destination is rocky, or your road is rocky and hard, a lot of people want to be on the straight and narrow. Straight and narrow doesn't build character. It doesn't make you different. It doesn't make you a lion compared to sheep. Some of us have to be warriors at the end of the day, and we can't be soft cupcakes like a whole lot of people. And so, and I'll tell you one thing that I believe this just from talking to y'all. And if y'all ever go y'all separate ways, then just pretend I didn't say this. But you can see where both your rocky roads led each other to each other. And if it was not for those rocky roads, then you wouldn't appreciate each other the way you do and try to have those understandings. Y'all are one of the few couples I've ever seen, and I've only been talking to y'all an hour together. But you can see where each other's trauma has made you want to support the other person's trauma and to take the insecurities away instead of holding those insecurities against each other. And that is a beautiful fucking thing.
And I did I did an Instagram post the other day with a picture of him and I, and I just said something like, every tear, every lonely night, every prayer prayed, I would do it all over again, because it means that I get you in the end. And I mean that. I would do it all over again a million times if it meant that I got to be right here where I am now.
Because even a fart in your face.
I wouldn't want anybody else to fart in my face.
I did that good damn answer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's how we end the show. Love it. Go ahead.
I'd love to say one more thing about what you said about not being a good Christian. And I'm not trying to change your wording, but maybe just give you a little. I'll tell you how I say it.
Yes,
anyway,
sir.
Not trying to tell you. Just because Christianity is such a big thing to me. I don't ever like for somebody to say that they're not good at something, because that's like saying I can't. And can't don't belong in my dictionary. And I know you didn't say you can't, but it's kind of similar if you get where I'm going with it. But is I always say I wake up a sinner first and foremost, just like each and every one else does. Mm-hmm. And I can always be a better Christian. Just throwing that out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't marry him, I'm going to.
I'm already told him I will yeet this IUD
that's
right
it.
Out.
That is, what did you just say?
She gonna yeet it out. I don't know how you.
Oh my God.
Practice this out here in a minute.
No, let me tell you what y'all just said, and Jimmy, how you just said that was perfect. That is why I love having folks that are real and they're not scared of their faith or whatever. We have a lot of shows on here that are really, really serious. Tomorrow, I've got a guy who runs an addiction clinic here that is several years sober, and he's bringing his wife with him that also struggled with addiction. So I do a lot of serious shows. We just did one with a preacher last week named Aaron Tanner that writes songs that he runs a Christian home. And everybody always gets on my butt about it, but what you just said, it describes what I'm trying to do perfectly, and you worded it way better than I did, is I wake up a sinner, but I'm trying to be a better Christian every day, and I fall short every day. But, you know,
I do too.
But
in my prayer every night, I say, Lord, forgive me for my shortcomings today.
Mm-hmm.
You two are gold, and I hope. I'm telling you, I'm blown away. I'm blown away right now. Next time that you're in Georgia,
we're meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. we've got to. I don't know if Bree's gonna get to go with me to that thing for the woman that's running for governor on Tuesday.
But I've got to try and get somebody to watch my kid because I've got him, and it's 4 hours away from me.
Yeah. Well, if you wanted to go, if you'll come here, you can just ride with me. If you don't want to, it's fine. But I also think too, and let me say this, and I'll let y'all go. The people who are asking like us to speak or to hear Jimmy, his message or y'all's message on TikTok, we're all trying to put out something positive into the world. And it is, I think it's a blessing when folks like all of us get together, because the more we push each other's voice, the louder that voice is. And maybe we're not right to everybody, but to be honest with you, the people who think we're wrong, I don't want them listening to me anyway. So
that's right.
You guys are doing a great job, and you are as advertised, Jimmy. I already knew she was.
I told you.
I already knew she was. She's the real deal, but so are you. And I appreciate both y'all coming on to the show. And
thank
y'all for giving me a little bit of your time tonight.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I look forward to meeting you in person one day soon.
We will. We will. Well, you enjoy handling them taters tomorrow, and you do your best not to do no more dancing videos. All right, you went full Caucasian with that, and then you can tell Jimmy got a little hood in him. So
he does.
And the thing is, I that was like about level 4 out of 10. I can turn it up, but I didn't. I was trying to go easy. It was only round 2.
Thank God, Jesus, yeah, God bless.
I'm gonna turn it up tomorrow. I'm gonna get on the hood and take my shirt off.
Datta boy. Well, thank y'all, and I'll be talking to y'all soon. Thank y'all for coming, and thank y'all, all y'all, for listening to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey. We'll catch you the next
time. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.